Hi, Tony DeMeo, Big Media USA, and I'm really excited today about having Randy Florence with me, who is the president and CEO of the Palm Desert Chamber of Commerce. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me on the show, Tony.
I bet you're a happy guy to be coming out of COVID and finally be open and running again, huh?
Very excited about the fact that a lot of our businesses are back up and running, and some of them are telling me they're having record months.
Well, with any membership organization really took a hit during the COVID, and now that you're getting new momentum, what's your strategy? What's your plan to get up and running and really get after it?
Well, you know, this is an interesting one for me individually, Tony, because as you know, I came out of a 37-year career in the private side of the business and moved over to a public business like the Chamber here just June 1st. So the first couple of months, I was just getting my feet under me and figuring out exactly what the Chamber could do for the area. But, you know, what we're really doing now is putting out the word that we're back open. As you know, our doors are back open. We're beginning to hold local events, in-person events. But it was a very, very difficult time for the Palm Desert area last year and this whole Coachella Valley, which is so dependent upon tourism and hospitality. It was nice to get through that.
You know, every chamber has a sort of a DNA or a personality to it. And what's different about the Palm Desert Chamber than, say, some of the other chambers in the area?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak directly to what all the other chambers are doing other than anecdotally, but I can tell you that historically, the Palm Desert area chamber has really been kind of known as the event chamber. They were the one where people could count on having events in which there was going to be a lot of networking, a lot of referral opportunities, and bringing the city together. So our personality is that we are charged on a monthly basis with figuring out how many times we can bring business owners together among themselves and with the public in order to help their businesses grow.
So what I liked about your chamber, so I've been fortunate enough to go to two events at your chamber. And one of the things I liked was that it didn't have that good old boy network feel to it. I felt like I could mix and mingle with anybody. And I've actually had several follow-up meetings with some of the members. So I think that's something that I realized that was very open. The chamber was open to anybody. I liked that feel.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that. It's one of the advantages that I hope coming in from a different industry has brought is that I'm looking at things a little bit differently. And in my previous career, my career was built on networking and relationships and getting people together and not having any of those little silos or good old boys network. And so I think that's one of the things that I and the new board of directors are really bringing to this chamber is that we want everybody included. You know, we've got an incredible city here. I've got everything from El Paseo, which is kind of our Rodeo Drive, down to the north side of the city, you know, along the freeway. We've got everything on both sides of the extreme here economically. So our job is to help all of those businesses.
So what happens is when somebody joins your chamber, you tend to gravitate to a group that you feel comfortable with. So whether it's hanging out with the sale folks or some other folks or it's realtors or whatever it is. And so you offer a pretty broad menu of different type of events that you have that allows that to happen.
Yeah, we also understand that a lot of times when a new person comes to a meeting for the first time, it's not the most comfortable situation for them. They don't know anybody. You know, I've been on several different board of directors here in the Coachella Valley in the time that I've lived here. And I felt those experiences of walking into a meeting for the first time and not really knowing what I was doing. And because of that, it took me 5 to 6 months to really get ingrained into the board and start being able to be productive and active. So one of the things that you know we do, Tony, is we have something known as our ambassador group. And our ambassador group is a group of members who have volunteered to take kind of the lead at our different events and such. So if you as a new member are joining us at one of our breakfast meetings, for instance, and we know that you're going to be there, we're gonna have somebody take you by the hand. We're gonna have one of our ambassadors kind of set themselves up as your chamber mentor to help you get in, get involved, and get as productive as you can be as quickly as you want to be. Nobody does this for a hobby. A lot of people do it because they do believe there's a civic responsibility as a business owner to be a part of a chamber. But almost everybody that does this because they want to help, they want help supporting their business. And so that's the first thing that I do with every decision I make.
Well, I think that goes back to some of the reasons why a business will be involved in a chamber. And it breaks down to some are purely in there because they feel like they made an investment, they have to get an ROI, and they've got to do business. And I think that's usually the majority. But there's some people that are involved, businesses that are involved, and they're involved because they care about the community. And they feel like that's a way that they can participate and be involved in the community and maybe influence it or somehow take advantage of things that are happening. So those are some of the reasons that I think that people join. I always say the least that a business could do is join, because typically when they do the least, they're the ones that you hear a year down the road say, I joined that chamber and they didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, we when I opened the doors back on June 1st, our membership is way down for obvious reasons over the last couple of years. But we have a large thing I had to work on right off the bat was to get to all the people whose renewals had come up last year who hadn't necessarily renewed with the chamber. And so what I'm doing, Tony, is I'm making calls to these people. And even when we sign up a new chamber member, one of the things we're asking them is, what do they want to get out of this? The best way for me to support them is to know what they're looking to get out of this. I talked to a chamber member a couple of months ago, and he said he was considering not renewing. And I said, well, what did you think of the last breakfast meeting? Because we had a very important speaker there. And he said, well, I wasn't able to make that. And I said, oh, okay. How about that last mixer that we did? We had 100 people in that room talking. No, I wasn't able to attend that. Well, how about the profit connection meetings in which we get people around the table and we give out referrals? Oh, well, I haven't been able to attend that. And I was very honest with them. I said, listen, I don't want to take your membership fee just to take your fee. The return on investment comes from the efforts that you put into the chamber once you join it. And so I sit down with them and really put a plan together for what they're comfortable with, what they think they can be a part of. Because when I call them next year about their renewal, I don't want to hear that they don't feel like they got $350 worth of activity from the chamber.
Yeah. Well, you know that I've been on the board with 7 different chambers. And throughout that time frame, I've learned that there's different reasons why people can join and why they join. And you need to lead them down that path and say, what do you want? You know, one obviously is to get more business. Two is they're concerned about the community. But three, for a lot of people, it's just the credibility of being, you know, they're in the financial world or realtor or something where there's a trust factor and it's not selling a hard good. And the affiliation with the chamber makes them okay. It's kind of like a Better Business Bureau thing. And so for a lot of people, that's the value right there. And it's worth the, you know, the ticket to the game to be able to play for that is to have that ability. One of the things you mentioned, and I think it's really important, we talked about is the ambassadors. And chambers are made up of committees. And there's value in the committee because obviously that the strength of the chamber is the strength of the committee. But as a business owner looking to get maximize your relationships, and really that's what it is. The chamber is getting relationships, introductions, and learning, meeting more people. Joining the committee is one of the best ways to get close to folks. Let's talk about that a little bit and some of the different committees you have and how they run and who runs them.
Thank you for that. I've got a great board of directors, as you know, Tony, and they're very active, but of course they're a group of, you know, 20 plus people who all also have their own businesses and their own companies that they're running on a daily basis. So we really do require the help and hope for the help from the membership at large. In order to join one of our committees, all you have to be is an active member of the Palm Desert Area Chamber. So the committees that we have are ones that we think are going to put the chamber in the best position to service our community going forward. The ambassadors group, which you mentioned, I think is a really, really important one because again, they're the ones that are kind of going, they're our street team. They're the ones that are going out in the street when we do our ribbon cuttings or when we do our mixers, introducing new members to other members, making sure that the new member who's coming in, that their needs are being met by the chamber. The other committees that we have an events committee. As you know, we put on some major events every year, the golf cart parade, the State of the City, the Peace Officer and Public Safety Awards. We put on a golf tournament every year. So we have an event committee that puts that stuff together. And within that committee, we have subcommittees for each one of the events. We have a marketing committee whose job it is to make sure that we're looking as best as we can out to the public through our social media and our emails that we blast out. Again, we want to look a very specific way out in the market. We have a finance committee, which is obviously involved with the finances of the chamber and making sure that we're keeping our stuff safe and secure and keeping this chamber in business. We are putting together two new committees this year. We are putting together a nonprofit committee. After talking to several of our nonprofit members, we recognized that there was a better opportunity to help our nonprofits. And by their name, they're always looking for some help from an institution. And so we put together a committee to help them. We're also reinstituting a committee that was very important here with this organization a few years ago called the Young Professionals Network. This town is getting younger and we're getting more full-time population. And so we need to have different groups that are part of the chamber that reflect our community. So those are some of the committees that people would have the availability of joining with us.
Yeah, so the process for a member thinking about a committee is it's not really the work, it's the way to look at it is like an extra networking opportunity, except you get to get closer to the folks because you're a smaller group and you're spending more time together.
Yeah. And so I think it really is. And in a town of 50,000 people where there's so much business and so much finance, you know, kind of crammed into a very small geographical area, it's also, to your point, the networking capabilities are unlike anything that I've ever seen in any other geography that I've been in. Because there's very few geographies where you could be sitting at a happy hour and turn around and see the mayor of Palm Desert sitting next to you or some major business person from Eisenhower or something like that. There are opportunities here in this town for businesses that you're not going to gather in very many other places.
You know, the committees are so important. Let's talk about sponsorship and events. And certain businesses like to gravitate and sponsor certain events that they feel that they'll get more exposure in a population that they want to do business with. And so in your chamber marketing strategy, how are you allowing different businesses to sponsor different events? You know, what can they do it for a little bit of money up to a grand sponsor? How does that all happen?
Yeah, and again, we want to be the right chamber for every business, irrespective of the size of the business, sole proprietor all the way up to the largest employers in town. So every event that we do, we open up sponsorship opportunities for our members. And those sponsorship opportunities might come from being a presenting sponsor for our breakfast meeting, for instance. Or it may be all the way to being one of our large institutional investors that are part of what we call our Chairman's Council roster. And again, those are our larger companies who are making larger annual investments into us. And then that provides them the opportunity to be a sponsor in multiple events to multiple levels. As an example, when we do our Peace Officers and Public Service event, next November, we anticipate bringing about 500 people into that event. It's one of the most well-attended events in the entire valley. Well, businesses in town know that that's an opportunity to get their name in front of 500 different people and 500 different businesses and to network like they've never been able to before. So we provide sponsorship opportunities all the way from just buying an individual table at one of those events or an individual seat even, all the way up to being a presenting sponsor for that event, where you might invest several thousand dollars, but you also get a much better return on investment for the money. So irrespective of what level they sponsor at, we make sure that the Valley knows that these people have made an investment into the chamber and into the event. We get their name out continuously in the time preceding the event. At the event, generally the sponsors have the opportunity to introduce themselves, and depending on the event, even have a small speaking part at some of the events.
Well, I think that's one of the things you just hit on that's important to think about when you're sponsoring. Let's say you're sponsoring the golf tournament and 6 months out ahead of it, you're marketing it. So as a sponsor, it's just not the exposure the day of, but there's a long-term, you know, lead time to the event, plus the event. And then if the event gets picked up anywhere else in media, things like that, you become part of that event, the branding that goes with it. So I think there's a tremendous value that sometimes people overlook
to sponsor. Well, you know, the other thing, and I actually consider this an event, and it's our ribbon cuttings, Tony. You know, I've mentioned this several times, but, you know, it's just crazy what excitement these ribbon cuttings generate. Now, I think personally, part of it is because everything's been shut down for so long that seeing anything, it looks like a whole bunch of people are standing in front of a store and opening the doors. That's really looking good to the public right now. So it's one of the things that we've really highlighted over these past few months is getting to businesses and saying, hey, you may not have opened your doors last month. Maybe you opened your doors a year ago or 2 years ago, and we never got the chance to come out here and highlight your door openings to the city. We're going back out to these businesses now and offering them that opportunity. And when we do that, as you know, we show up en masse. You know, we get our board of directors, we get our ambassadors. Typically, we see people from the city there, from some of the other political affiliations in town. We get a large number of people that like to come watch us cut that ribbon.
Well, it's funny, you know, the ribbon cutting is a part of your membership. So it's, you know, really a no cost type thing, but there's two benefits to it. The benefit to the people attending, it's another networking opportunity, number one. Number two, to the business, it's not only exposure, but it also has some sort of a kickoff to it, where now we're really in business. Now it's a milestone for us. And so there is some real value to those. And I think people take them kind of lightly, but and there's a giving sense going to support somebody's business. It's better than liking their business on Facebook if you show 100%. Up and do a ribbon cutting for them, right? You know, so there's some real benefit there to doing that. Randy, as we're coming up, this is a great interview, really fast paced. I'm really enjoying it. As we're coming up on our time, I just wanted to give you a parting shot. Is there anything you think that we should have covered, we didn't cover, you'd like to cover?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to get out and tell the story of the Palm Desert Chamber anytime that I can. This is a historic organization, as you know, where I'm sitting right now in 1947, where General Patton's maintenance yards, there were tanks, army tanks sitting right here. So I get a real special feeling anytime I come into the chamber building. I would encourage anybody to visit us here at the chamber. We have conference rooms that we make available for our member businesses and such. So come in and visit us. But I would really encourage you to pick up the phone and give me a call, or go on our website at pdacc.org. Reach out to me. If you're not sure that the chamber can provide benefit to you as a business, give me a call. And listen, if at the end of that call, I've determined that I don't think we can provide you any benefit, I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to take your money if I can't do the job for you.
Well, I think one thing that, you know, we didn't cover, and it is important, you've got a great facility. And I've been there, and I've seen members using it to have meetings, which is a real plus, because it takes it out of their office and moves it. The other thing that's, I think, really enjoyable is when you have a luncheon mixer, and it's in a really nice facility, and it's not in a restaurant where, I mean, I think those have their purpose too, to drive business to the restaurant, but also when there's a lot of interruptions and there's noise and the presenter is not, you know, has a good stage to really make an impact. So I think your facility is important, and it's a great one. And there's plenty of parking there. So on that note, on that high note, I want to wrap this up. I want to thank you so much for doing this interview. We'll be posting it on Big Media USA, and we'll send you the link so you can listen to it.
I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate the time, Tony.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Thanks, my friend.